Pam, coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories. You can find this as a free download on iTunes and also in the podcast section of the blog Make Room for the Stuttering. Today, we're doing a little bit of a twist. Good friend Irina from Burgas, Bulgaria, she is actually going to take the floor and lead today's conversation. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Irina. How are you today?
Oh. Hi, Pam. I'm fine, thanks. Hi, everybody. I have the honor to interview view Pam in her own podcast. So Pam, how does it feel to be guest in your own show?
it feels a little funny, actually. I've been hoping to have the opportunity to tell parts of my story, but it does feel funny kind of not being the one kind of leading the conversation. But I'm happy to have you be the one taking the lead here. So I'm looking forward to where our conversation is going to go.
Thank you, Pam. Tell me first, have you always been so confident and empowering as you are now now in the stuttering world?
Well, that's a great compliment you just paid me. Confident and empowering. Wow, those are nice words to describe anyone. Actually, no. For most of my adult life, I kept my stuttering hidden. Like many women, I was ashamed of stuttering. I felt that I wasn't measuring up to the rest of the world, and I felt that I should not subject other people to having to listen to me stutter. A lot of that stems back to my childhood, because I always felt that I had disappointed my father because of the way that he had reacted to my stuttering by yelling at me and telling me to stop it and et cetera. So from an early age, I thought that stuttering was bad and that I needed to hide it. So that's what I attempted to do for most of my life. So definitely, I was not always open about it.
But how did you did it feel for you to be a child and then a teenager who stutters? Were you you bullied by other children?
Well, it's funny because the first memories that I have of stuttering openly were around five years old. And like I said, my father couldn't stand the fact that that I was doing this and that there was something wrong with me, or that's how I felt that he felt. And he always yelled at me, screamed at me, as a matter of fact, to stop that. And then when I got into school, the kindergarten, which I was very much looking forward to, I enjoyed reading. I was a pretty smart little girl. I was really excited about going to school, and unfortunately, I had a kindergarten teacher that kind of did the same thing. That was very negative when I stuttered. That criticized me. That told me that we don't do that here. So both of those experiences of having adults who were pretty influential in my life at that time kind of compelled me to keep my stuttering hidden as much as I could. So I didn't talk very much through school or as a young person in high school. When I did, yeah, the kids teased me and made fun of me, and because of that, and what had happened when I was younger, I almost never talked. That was how I managed to survive with my stuttering. I avoided everything, pretended that I was shy, pretended that I didn't know answers, and just kind of fooled people and myself into believing that I was okay with this.
This must have been a very difficult difficult periods of your life. Have you ever discussed the issue with your your father, already as a mature person?
It was very difficult. It was very difficult growing up thinking that I was defective and that I had disappointed my father. I always thought that he was ashamed of me. And I don't really know if that's true. Because you ask, have I ever talked to my father as an adult? And in fact, I have not. We have not talked for years about anything, actually, but especially about stuttering. Nobody in my family talked about it. It was if it wasn't there, which made it even more diff. A cult for me because I felt so isolated and so alone. It was never ever talked about in my family. Only until recently when I couldn't stand it anymore and came out of the closet about 4 years ago. It was only then that I was gradually able to start talking openly about stuttering with just one of my siblings. I have five siblings, and just one, she sort of understands and validated for me that nobody ever talked about it because it didn't seem like I wanted to talk about it. So we were both under the belief that we should just not talk about it and pretend that it wasn't there, but it was killing me on the inside to have to have to leave to leave a, lead a life like that because I was very unhappy.
What happened then? What triggered this change in you 4 years ago?
Well, I think it actually started happening sooner than 4 years ago, but something inside of me, probably when I hit my 40s, something inside of me just was like yearning, screaming, in fact, to be able to be my true, true, true self, and to be able to let the world see this side of me that I'd always felt was something bad, that definitely was an imperfection. But it was me. It was me, and I was tired of hiding it. I was tired of avoiding. I was tired of not talking when I really wanted to. So I was trying to find a way to figure out how to be open with this part of my life, and the way kind of found me. Meaning that I had been employed in a job for just about 20 years, was pretty satisfied at the job. It didn't require me to have much communication. I was content with being the quiet one, avoiding situations, switching words when I had to. But there reached a point where I just became not good at doing that anymore. And all of a sudden, I was stuttering was slipping out more and more. I was becoming more aware of it, more self-conscious of it. But I was also thinking, you know, so what? This is me. And maybe I can't hide it anymore. But I ran into a problem at work with a new supervisor who heard me stuttering more at work, and he did not understand it. He thought I was nervous, anxious, shy. I was working with young people at the time. And to make a long story short, I was fired from my job of 20 years because of stuttering and poor communication. And that rocked my world totally. That was the moment that I had to make a decision. I can't live like this anymore. I'm not going to hide who I am, the person that I am. You know, this is it. This is who I am. I happen to stutter, and I suddenly found myself having to figure out, well, now what am I going to do? I don't have a job, and I'm going to have to go through that whole process again and go through job in interviews. But I decided to do it and disclose the fact that I am a person who stutters and take my chances. And all of a sudden, I felt like the real me was unleashed and able to come out for the first time. And while it was scary, because it was happening during a time when I was unemployed and my world had fallen apart, for some reason it was okay too. Because for the first time in my life, I was just able to be me, and it was okay. The world didn't crash in. I didn't get struck by lightning. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And and I can see that that as it it often happens in life. Something bad can be an engine for a positive change in us to happen, but I'm just wondering, you have clearly been discriminated against did you react to this unfair act? Did you do something?
Oh, absolutely. I was horrified that this could happen. And to be honest, my first reaction was I thought it was my fault because I had been covert and had never told anybody that I stutter. And I thought if I had just told my employers that I stuttered, that perhaps this wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't have been fired and I'd still be there. So I carried around some guilt. But then I realized, wait a minute, it's not my fault. You can't discriminate against somebody just because they talk differently. So I did react. I got a lawyer and got some advice and actually wound up making a complaint with the human rights d division here in my state. I live in New York, and I also retained a lawyer, and we actually followed a we filed a lawsuit and made a discrimination complaint against the company.
So was it successful?
Well, it was a very long process, and it actually it dragged on for more than 2 years. And what I was finding was that my former employer was fighting it, of course. They were, denying that any wrongdoing had been done. They were stating that the reason that I'd been fired was because of lack of ability to meet performance expectations, which was ridiculous because I'd been there for 20 years and had always received positive evaluations, had been given promotions, in fact. So for them to claim that it was due to poor performance was ridiculous. But it dragged on for 2 years. I had to face my former employer, but I wasn't giving up. I was going to stick with it because I knew what they had done was what was wrong. I needed some personal satisfaction from this experience. And I thought by my pursuing this, maybe I'd be able to help other people that might also face the same problem. But what happened as it dragged on for 2 years, and I saw that I wasn't really able to make my life move forward the way that I want it to, and it didn't seem like it was going anywhere, the human rights division and my lawyer both advised me that because it was discrimination based on, a disability, and stuttering is really not seen as a disability, point blank. I mean, it's really left up to the interpretation of the disability laws. And here in
Yeah.
the here in the United States, it's very, very, very hard to prove that under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So anyway, they advised me that even if we went on and it could take many years, it was not as bad as had it been racial discrimination or sexual harassment or something like that. And they told me that I wasn't going to win my job back, or I wasn't going to win like a great deal of money. So the best bet would be to try to settle the case. So that's in fact what we did. We wound up settling because I just wanted it to be over. I wanted to be able to put that part behind me and move on and get a new job and try to figure out where my life was going to go next. So in a way, I did think it was a victory because they wouldn't have settled if they weren't afraid that they hadn't really done something wrong. So I'm not at liberty to disclose the details of that. I had to sign an agreement that I wouldn't publicly, but rather than pursuing it further in court, they just, you know, made a settlement, and which to me was like a small victory because I felt that they felt and they knew that they'd done something wrong. We settled it and I moved on. I got another job in a place where they know that I stutter, and they're okay with it, because they actually see that I'm working with high school age students, and they actually see that my openness with a difference is being a good role model for kids, and that's the first time that I've ever experienced that with an employer. That actually thinks that it's okay for me to be open with a difference, because it sets a good example for the youth that I work with.
So, so even though you have very communicative job. It stuttering is seen actually as an advantage and not as a weak side of yours.
Well, sorta, Irina. I'm not sure that it's seen as an advantage, because I'll be honest, there are times when I try to be as fluent as I can be. Like, if I have to, you know, when I'm in situations where I feel like I'm being judged by authority figures, you know, I just like anybody else, I'm human, and you know, I try to, you know, I try to be as clear and as smooth and as fluent as I can in the situations where I think that I need to. And I'm not always happy when I make that compromise, but I'm okay with that. I don't beat myself up over that. But with my interaction with the students, I just try to be myself. And if stuttering comes out, it comes out. That's part of me. And what usually happens is that if the kids have never heard stuttering, and most of them haven't, they haven't had a teacher or a counselor, you know, that does stutter. Sometimes what happens is that somebody will, you know, laugh or giggle or roll their eyes or something like that. So I take those opportunities to say to the kids, hey, look, we need to stop for a minute. You need to know that I stutter and I'm okay with it most of the time. And this is who I am. but I'm not okay with you laughing or making fun of me, you know. So we all have differences, and I really don't appreciate that. And I give them then an opportunity to ask questions about it. And usually what I find is that the students are very respectful of the fact that I've been upfront with them, because a lot of times they've experienced that adults in their life are not upfront with them. So once I tell them that I stutter and I've had that little conversation, it's usually not an issue. And then we can go on doing whatever it is that we need to be doing, which, you know, in my job as a counselor is helping them make good decisions, helping them prepare for college or the workplace, and stuttering is not an issue. But you know, when I just can be who I am and be confident in myself, I think that's what sets the message for the young people that I work with, that you know, we can be all that we're capable of being, even if we have a difference.
Yes, in deed, and it is so great that that you have reached a point to be so open about your stuttering and to be able to address it also in your work. It seems so easy to say, look, this is the case with me. I stutter, and still it is so difficult for so many of us. Let me ask you, how has stuttering influenced your personal life?
Well, like I said earlier, as a kid and as a teenager and a young woman, I always found it very hard to make friends. I didn't have very many friends as a kid and a high school student. So, and missed out on the opportunities for, you know, normal, well, what I would consider normal socialization opportunities, meeting boys, dating, that kind of thing. I never did any of that stuff. And I really was one of those people that thought that nobody was going to want me because, you know, I was different. I was very self-conscious about my looks, my appearance. You know, I had skin. I was always heavier than I wanted to be, and plus I stuttered. And I just thought, oh my God, like, you know, nobody's, I'm never going to have a relationship. I'm never going to find anybody. But I did in my late 20s. I got hooked up in a relationship with somebody that showed an interest. It was somebody that I had worked with, and I'm almost sad to admit this, but I will, because this is sometimes I think what women go through is I didn't really love this guy, but I felt that maybe nobody else would want me, so it was better than nothing. So I got sort of tied up in this relationship, and I was never really happy with it. I never was really happy with him, and he kind of took advantage of the fact that I was quiet and kind of let him do things and be in control. And I settled. I settled for somebody that I wasn't really happy with, because I thought that that's all I deserved. And then when I finally realized, a couple of years ago that, hey, this does not make me any less of a person, any less of a woman. And when I found myself and began to realize that, my stuttering does not define find who I am, and I got really actively involved in the stuttering community, as you know.
Yes.
I got really involved. I found self-help or organizations. I started writing about some of my experiences, and I sort of began to realize that, wow, I kind of have a story to tell, because I had this horrible experience. I was fired for stuttering, which could have been the absolute like the worst thing. And like you said, I it took a while, but I turned things around, and I kind of found my voice and my person, and got involved in lots of activities, and started talking for the first time in years, and started encouraging other people that it is okay, that we don't have to be perfect, and that we're still, people capable of making a difference in the world. And I was starting to change. And I was starting to grow and develop more confidence. And my partner at the time, he was having a very, very, very hard time adjusting to the changes that were happening with me. And he wasn't going for it. He was happy with the way that I had been, because he was able to be in control of everything. And as I told you, I never really, really cared for him, and I allowed him to take advantage and kind of dominate me and make all those decisions for me. So, we broke this relationship off last year after 20 years. I'd been in a relationship that I was so unhappy with for 20 years, 20 years of my life.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm almost getting a little emotional. But it was the smartest and the best thing that I could have done, because I finally realized that I don't need another person to complete me as a person. And if he, was going to be angry because I was becoming the confident person, the confident woman that I've always been, but just wouldn't let out, then I didn't need to be part of that bad relationship anymore. So we separated, and trust me, that was a very, very hard thing to do. I was scared. I wasn't sure that I could make it on my own. But I have. I've been living, independently for the last year, and I love it. You know, I'm meeting all kinds of new people, and I have a freedom that I've never ever felt that I had before. And you know, I'm really truly finding that, you know, I had this personal strength inside of me all this time, and I just didn't know it.
I feel how painful and difficult this decision has been, and I'm so happy for you that you made it, that you just decided to continue with your personal growth and to be the person that you really are. This is absolutely great.
Thank
And
you.
we often pay for being ourselves, and often it's we need to pay to pay pay a lot, but I think and I'm convinced it is worth it, and I can see that you feel the same now. And is it around this time when the idea of the podcast come?
Well, it's interesting that you mention that because I started my blog almost 2 years ago. I started writing about where I've been and where I am now, and the journey that I've been on, because I really feel that that's what it's been. I started, you know, in the closet about my stuttering and really about everything else in my life. I was afraid to be, you know, assertive and confident and strong. I was afraid to show my emotions, and I felt like I needed somebody else in my life to, you know, be the one that kind of made all the decisions for me. And as I began realizing that that's ridiculous, and that I don't need to be that way, you know, I started writing about my stuttering stories and my own journey and the things that I'd been be began to discover. And then just last year in May of 2010, I was a guest on somebody else's podcast. He had invited me, and we were talking about, you know, this type of stuff, women who stutter, and how we don't really very much hear, you know, women's stories, and, you know, some of the things that we go through because we try to hide this part of ourselves so much. And he had said to me, you know, you ought to do your own podcast, you know, and just try to, you know, find women to tell their stories. And I was like, yeah, right, that's not going to happen. I don't, you know, I don't know how to do any of that, and I don't think that women would want to. But the more I thought about it and realized that I had a story, I thought, well, of course, other women who stutter have a story also. And because women are in the minority, We very rarely hear from women who stutter and give them an opportunity to stutter and share their story. So I gave it a shot. And my friend, he taught me what I needed to do to, you know, do the recordings and save them and edit them and whatnot. And I really thought that I'd have a hard time finding people, women, who would want to do this. And obviously, I was very wrong because obviously, because what's happened is that I found out very simply that when I invited women to share their stories, they wanted to. And to me, this has been just an incredible process because I feel privileged to be part of it. You know, I decided, wow, I've met so many people in the, you know, online stuttering world. I know people outside of the United States. Let's see if, you know, women from other countries want to share their stories. And again, I found like, wow, they do. And it's all it is simply inviting women to tell their story. And they do. And the stories that have come out of this are just such incredible stories of hope and courage and inspiration. And I'm finding that women are listening to other women and realizing, hey, I'm not the only one. And Irina, I can't tell you like how good this makes me feel to be
yes,
part of
that
this.
Was yes.
I started to get choked up there again. I just was saying that it makes me feel so special to be part of this because I think what's happening with these women sharing these stories is really an incredible opportunity for all of us all over the world to connect with each other.
Yes, it is so. It was like this this to me when I was on the other side really great experience by listening to other interviews, I can hear that it is so for all of us, and this was exactly my next question: how has the podcast and listening to all these stories changed your life?
It has really changed the way that I feel about my own history and my own story, and you know, I feel like for the first time in my life that, you know, stuttering has a purpose. We all of us that stutter, we stutter for a reason. It's either to teach other people about tolerance and differences or respect, or it's about how to teach the world how to be better listeners, maybe. And what this has done for me, and this might sound corny, but it's been, you used the word at the beginning of the conversation, it's been so empowering for me as a person who never thought I had a voice to be in a position to offer an opportunity for women just like myself to show that they have a voice. And it's just like, you know, a full circle type of thing. It almost seems like I was meant to do this for some reason, because I've kind of grown into the role. I didn't feel very confident when I first started doing it, but now I feel like this has been a really important part of my life over the last 8 months, and I feel like it's special, and I'm so, so happy that I stuck with it, and that, you know, I believed in myself enough to realize that I can do this, and women who stutter do have stories that the world needs to hear. And it's changed me to realize that I've been able to have a small part in making our voices heard.
Listening to all that you have achieved so far, I'm wondering, is there a challenge which you haven't faced yet?
Well,
tell us.
I don't know, you know, because it's I don't know what's next, you know. I don't know if I don't know what's next on my own personal journey. You know, it's funny. People have told me that, you know, I should do something with this, like with my own story, because I've only tipped the iceberg. I haven't shared my whole story, but people have told me, you know, that you should write a book. And I'm like, yeah. Or at the very least, maybe do something with this podcast, or, you know, let other people know what a difference creating this space for women has made for who stutter. So I really don't know what the next challenge or opportunity in my life is going to be, but I do know that whatever it is, I feel prepared to face that. You know, I trust myself these days, and I believe in myself, and I know that just like anybody, we're capable of great things if we just give ourselves a chance. And that's really all I needed to give myself, was a chance. So whatever the next challenge is, it might be scary and it might be intimidating, because all of us feel that way sometimes when we face something new or we've got a change in our life. But I feel that whatever it is, bring it on. I'm ready for it.
Pam, you know what I think think about it. I'm looking forward forward to the book. And good luck with it. And at the end, my last question is there something which you'd like to add or share?
Well, you've done such a great job inviting me to tell parts of my story. And I think probably what I just want to add or share is that I really have learned the power of story, telling our story. I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to be invited to tell my story to a storytelling circle in my area here, to a group of people who don't stutter and who don't know anything about stuttering. And so I told three stories about courage, trust, and leaps of faith. And that's something that I never ever thought that I would be able to do. And I did. I was able to do that. And even though the people in that audience did not stutter, and for some, I think it was the first time that they'd heard somebody stutter, I think they were inspired by just the fact that a woman was able to talk about a very personal part of her life and share that with other people. And that makes a difference when we do that. It makes a difference to the world when we do that. And I guess I just want to remind anybody listening that if you think what you do doesn't matter, think again, because to somebody out there, even if you don't know it, it does matter. And we matter. And I've learned that about myself. I used to think I didn't matter. And that's not true anymore. I realize that I do, and we do, and we just have to believe that about ourselves.
This is great ending of our conversation, making change by being ourselves and sharing our stories. Pam, you have just shared your story with me and the whole world out there. Thank you for this. This it has been been a huge privilege for me, and I have enjoyed it immensely. Thank you, Pam.
Well, thank you, Irina, for being willing to take the other side of the microphone and let me feel what it feels like to be on the other side. You did a magnificent job, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.